May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of this communion of saints, their hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as I mentioned in the announcements before we got started, there will be days like this, which has become my mantra for All Saints Sunday for the last few years, as the world out there has raged in tension and hatred and anger. Van Morrison wrote that song. He was a deeply spiritual man, deep faith, and his mother took him to church. He was Welsh, and he was able to express his ministry and his love of God and his faith through his music and his lyrics. I think many of you probably know of Van Morrison. If not, if he's not a favorite of yours, he should be. The lyrics to the song go, "When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. When everything falls into place like the flick of a switch, well, my mama told me there'll be days like this." The saint in Van Morrison's life was his mama, who told him this story and held hope and courage and love and beauty before him and talked to his very deep, dark soul. So that's why it's become kind of my go-to song for All Saints Sunday, because it gives us, on All Saints Sunday, we have this pause and permission to celebrate the joy in the world and God's work in the world. For the last All Saints Sundays, as far back as I can remember, I've had to come in and address what's going on in the world and just say, let's just take a pause. It's a gift, the pause for this liturgical calendar. Even in the last few weeks in our gospel message, right? We've been in the last chapter of Matthew, where Jesus has been confronted, and he's had to deal with contentiousness and anger and violence, and he's issued words in his parables of warning and end times and judgment. And so there's been this uneasy tension that we've had to address over the last few weeks to find where is God's presence in them. And then we get this, days like this, All Saints Sunday. This year, I want you to remember, we'll move on here. So we're going to take advantage of that break. And think about when everything falls into place like the flick of a switch, there'll be a day like this. You remember what happened in 2016? No, not that. But everything did fall into place like the flick of a switch for the Chicago Cubs. Right? That was a nice reprise, a nice pause after what had happened before in October. We had in November the Chicago Cubs, who won the World Series. Dr. Thomas Long, who's a teaching professor at the theology school in Emeryville University, used to love to describe the complexity of biblical studies and church life through the game of baseball. Some of us do it through the game of golf, or through yoga or whatever, but his metaphor, his of describing biblical studies in church life, was through baseball. And he asked us to imagine something like this. Imagine a baseball game. It's the bottom of the seventh inning, one out, runner on first, score tied. The batter steps up into the right-handed batter's box and about a few inches closer than the last time so that he can better adjust to the right-handed pitcher's nasty curveball, which struck him out the last time. The pitcher notices this and shakes off the catcher's first suggestion of a curveball. The catcher then calls a fastball inside. Glancing in to see the catcher's sign, the shortstop moves to his right, ready to cover that hole between short and third, ready to steal a hit, but also well aware that he will have to cover second on a ground ball to the right side. We got the complication here, right? In a baseball game, right? As he moves, he throws up one finger, then three fingers, and behind his back to the left fielder, who begins to inch toward the field line, And the catcher finishes giving the sign, puts on his right hand, and crouches, ready to throw out the runner if he goes. The pitcher glances at the runner over his shoulder once again, takes his fastball grip, then fires outside, ball one. And in the stands, a friend or a teammate, a fan says something like this: "Nothing ever happens in baseball." Indeed, sometimes nothing happens for 108 years. Baseball takes attention and dedication and devotion, but that long time dedication reaped big rewards when the Cubs won the series. One of the most touching parts of it all was watching people write in chalk on the brick walls of Wrigley Field. I don't know if you remember this. The messages began as messages of support, and the messages grew as some helpfully placed boxes of chalk along the walls. "Go Cubs, go," one read. "Fly the W," read another one. Then someone wrote, "Wish you were here, Grandpa." And someone else wrote, "We miss you, Dad. Go Cubbies." And still someone else wrote, "Grandma, we know you're watching from the stands in heaven. We love you." There, standing on the edge of what they once thought was impossible, people wanted to look back and remember the people who had so loved their Cubs, but had never lived to see their glory. The people who cheered them year after year, loss after loss. And then in November 2016, the once buried, once cursed Chicago Cubs finally won the World Series. There's a lot of heartbreak in baseball. And just as a side note, I'll let you know, I'm not a Cubbies fan, but I'm a Cal Bear fan. And there's a lot of heartache in being a Cal Bear fan. My grandson Owen went to his first Cal Bear game 2 weeks ago against SC, winning, all the way till what? Oops, they lost again, 1 point. But there's a lot of heartbreak in baseball, and progress happens slowly, so slowly. "Maybe we have the players to do it this year," we say. But if we don't, we say there's always next year. It's the kind of thing that people who don't like baseball just really don't understand. Nothing ever happens in baseball. Oh, but sometimes things do happen. And when they happen the way they did for the Chicago Cubs in 2016, it's an emotional experience that brings the whole country to happy tears. Blessed tears is another way of saying it, as we heard in the Beatitudes. Blessed in Hebrew is happy. Those are really flowing tears. We all remember those who came before, those who loved their team and kept hope alive for so long, kept hope alive. The Cubs nation owed those who came before all the glory of that night for teaching them to love their Cubbies, for teaching them the traditions, for helping the fans have hope every single spring that the cursed Chicago Cubs may finally do it this year. Without those who came before and experienced all those heartbreaks but kept believing, the 2016 World Series would have been impossible. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who continue to believe against all evidence that their hope is not misplaced, for they will eventually win." All Saints is more than just remembering all those in the church that have died. It is remembering those saints lovingly as the people who made our faith possible. You're all here because of a saint in your life that helped get you here in this pew this morning, who kept believing in hope and resurrection and grace and Jesus, and taught our grandparents, our parents, our godparents, and then us to do the same. Those who kept hope alive for one more cycle that real peace is possible. Ordinary people who were convicted to bring the kingdom come in their little corner of the world, no matter what the prevailing culture and politics and empire was. And the church, which is always standing on the edge of this impossible dream of peace and reconciliation that only God can bring about, gives thanks for those people every single year on this All Saints Sunday. Some of the saints have names to us. Our mothers, my mother, grandfathers, fathers, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, siblings, spouses, loved ones, and dear friends. They weren't perfect, far from it. In fact, some of them have done tremendous good or a little harm, but for the most part, the record was mixed in all of us. In truth, we are both saint and sinner. Each of them, however, shaped the church into what we are today. Their smiles, their eyes, their voices stayed with us because they shaped us. Even long after they die, the saints are with us. Other saints we never had a chance to know. They are our ancestors, both those in whom we share our DNA and our ancestors in faith. Some of those saints made it into the Bible, and some of them lived long after it was written. St. Matthew, St. Peter, St. Anne, those are the big S saints. And then we have in the small S saints that we commend and we breathe the lives of here in our noonday prayer service, where we access holy women, holy men, a great cloud of witnesses that name these small saints through history and time. And today is the day we remember and give thanks for all of them. We speak and write their names, and we look at photographs and we remember their faces. Just turn to your pew mate. There's a saint sitting next to you. We think of our loved ones as part of the heavenly throng today, gathered around Christ's table. And for just a moment in this assembly, we are imagining that heaven and earth has come fully joined. They weren't perfect, but without them, none of this would be possible. They brought our faith and our church into being, and they changed the world. But it took a long, long time. And now, 170 years worth, a long time, right? Now the work is ours. And we, like the fans at Wrigley in 2016, remember the saints who made where we are possible as we stand on the edge of the impossible, seemingly always these days between dread and hope. We remember that our ancestors also lived through turmoil. They lived through war. They lived through division and hate and hunger. We remember that just as they did not solve all of the problems in their time, neither must we, but we must simply, as the Cub fans did all those years, keep hope alive within, faithfully and loyally, year after year. At Wrigley Field in 2016, Danny Camacho balanced on the gates as his uncle, Maurice Vasquez, held him up as he tried to find a good place to write in chalk on the brick wall that was becoming filled up. Maurice explained that what the pair were doing. "We're here for my father, my nephew Danny's grandfather, an awesome Cubs fan. He's not with us anymore. He's with the good Lord, and he's why we're down here. To give the Cubs strength so they can win the World Series," Vasquez said. "I think this is a great thing for them so they can see the loyalty of the fans. And believe me, we Cubby fans are loyal. We are here for our fathers, our grandfathers, our grandmothers, our mothers, our siblings, and our friends. We're here for our spouses and our children. We're here for saints that we never got to know because they died centuries before we were born. We're here in this congregation, in this pew, for them because they are the reason we are here today. As we sing in our communion hymn this morning, the saints of God live not only in ages past. There are hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with joyous saints who love to do Jesus' will. You can meet them in school or in lanes or at sea. I won't go on, but you know what I mean. For the saints of God are just folks like me, and I mean to be one too. We again stand on the edge of the impossible, the edge of anxiety, remembering our loved ones in the past and hoping for the best in our futures, knowing that our loved ones are a part of that future too, because they helped to build it, brick by brick, pitch by pitch, slowly. We're here to figure out what we can do and be together as this congregation, and what God will do among us. Because after all, if anyone knows how to root for a team that'll break your heart, it's God. And God is loyal. Let us pray. Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. Amen.